Pete Price. Over my dead body.
I'm with Phil Halliday, and I've just been introduced to the brother. Your name is what, sir?
Steve Halliday.
Steve. What's he like to work with?
He's fine when he's here.
Now, we've just been talking. You made a very, very interesting point. Right, I'm planning my funeral. I'm single. I've got nobody in my life, no family. I am trying to put something together, but you've got a totally different opposite view on this, haven't you?
I have, yes. I feel that people shouldn't arrange their own funeral. I believe it's part of the grieving process for the people that are left behind. It's a gift or a job of work that is part of the healing process and helps relieve the pain of death, the fact that you can see off your previous generation.
I think that's a really interesting point, that. So you feel that it's your way of saying goodbye?
Yes, I believe it's my duty towards my mum and dad. And I think if my mum and dad were to arrange their own funeral, it would be stealing something from me. It would be taking away a job of work that I would like.
That's fab. But can you understand some people who get so distraught that they just can't cope or deal with anything?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why there's choice. I believe there's always somebody in the family that wants to take charge or wants to can see to the arrangements. It's just my own personal view that I would like the job of work. I would like to put together something that would honour my mum and dad in the way that me and my brothers would see fit.
That's interesting. Now, you and your brothers. Mm-hmm. Now, great family, fine. Mm-hmm. What about the families that argue and I want to sort the funeral out? There's all sorts then. If it's planned, that will stop and take that away.
I've heard personally of many instances of that, and that's exactly what it's good for. Pre-arrange and arrange your own funeral, that takes an awful lot of family conflict away. But it's not something that I personally believe that we in our family have.
Right, I'm on the factory floor. It just looks like a wood factory.
That's exactly what it is, Pete. We've got all our chipboard stacks, we've got our sheets and sheets of raw veneer, glues, various polishes and stuff. And I'm just going to give you a little walk around from... show you how a piece of raw chipboard becomes a polished coffin that a loved one's going to be in this time tomorrow.
Right, first question. What is chipboard? I've always wanted to know.
It's waste. It's recycled waste, essentially. It's all the bits off the top of a tree that you couldn't even make a toothpick with, all bits of branch. It's very, very rarely got any virgin timber in it. It's recycled wood. It's a very recycled product. What it has in it, though, is a tiny little bit of formaldehyde, urea formaldehyde glue that holds all those chips together. And that's where it loses its recycling credentials. But essentially, the wood itself is just waste.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of furniture and everything's made with chipboard.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, Pete. Yeah, this is... I can only speak from the coffin side, and I'll show you the solid timbers as well. But yeah, the chipboard itself is just a waste, a byproduct of waste. But yeah, it's held together with little bits of glue.
Here's a question you might be able to answer or might not be able to answer. Where do we stand in the world with trees? Are there huge places around the world growing all these trees to give you the wood?
Well, to be honest, a lot of our chipboard's coming in. I don't particularly know where Kronospan's getting his chip from at the moment, but Unilin over in Belgium will be using European chip. It's not a bad idea to cut down trees, Pete. Old trees, inefficient trees, replaced by new trees. As long as it's done well. We are one of the very few companies that's FSC certified. You've heard of the FSC, the Forestry Stewardship Council. We're one of the few in our industry that's certified. So every bit of our chipboard, we can trace back to a mill, which can then trace back the chip to a forest. And it's environmentally sourced. There's an audit trail. Gone are the days you can go down to the Liverpool docks and get a container that's off a boat from Ghana full of all this sort of tropical hardwood that just should never have been forested. So the FSC and our audit trail stops that happening. But yeah, trees, it's not a bad idea to cut down trees, Pete. That's a basic thing.
Right. Right, I'm standing in a factory. I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's just a factory with wood, chipboard and wood. Looking over Phil's shoulder, for the first time I've seen something that looks like a coffin. It looks like a coffin lid. Now that is the first sign I've seen of... So what would that be?
That is a coffin lid, Pete, and next to it is a coffin base. The difference you can see is the coffin lid's got a sheet of paper covering it, so you can't see the chipboard. The coffin base doesn't. So the coffin base is just the raw chipboard. And that's all been done on a computerized CNC router. You can see on the screen there, on the computer screen, what the operator is now working on. And he just presses a button, all the heads on that machine move over, and they cut out a perfect coffin base or coffin lid.
Now, your family, when it first started, I presume was planes, because I was rubbish at woodwork. Yeah. I was garbage at woodwork, but it was just planes and people making
it. Absolutely, hammers, nails, everything. There's no actual nails used in the construction of a coffin, and there's no screws used in the construction of a coffin. Oh. I'm going to show you what we use, and it's quite clever. But yeah, this is all computerized machinery. We've got a few of these here, Pete. There's no robotics on this site, but there's definitely computerized machinery that press a button and it does everything for you.
How long have you been here?
We've been on this site 2001. This used to be Westaway Polythene. They sold it to us in 2001, so 16 years.
Right, where are we going now? Walking that way? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you just join me, this is fascinating. We're talking about the serious side of it now, because we're in a factory that makes coffins, but it's fascinating. It is just like a factory. I'm with one of the bosses, and we are now where?
Pete, we're over by the pressing area, so before we move on to the coffin line, this is like a concertina press. Three beds open up in stages, wood goes in there, it's got a sheet of veneer on it, chipboard and a sheet of paper. We make a sandwich. We then compress it all together for 30 seconds, 120 Celsius, they all drop open again, that's them ready. The wood's cured onto the chipboard, we've glued it all together.
Why paper?
The paper is a balance, because any heat put into wood can make it look like a banana. It makes it start to twist. So you use paper on it to act as a counterbalance. And secondly, when you look inside a coffin, you don't really want to see raw chipboard, so you want to see paper. And it just hides raw chipboard. It's aesthetically pleasing.
When you all go to a funeral next, you're all going to sit there looking at your friend in the coffin thinking, well, I know exactly how that's been made. This is really, really fascinating. Not at all what I expected. I actually expected a couple of old guys with a plane going on the wood, getting the size done. The other thing is, thinking about it, is the obesity that is around now, and that description you gave me before is quite awesome to think. I mean, it really is, isn't it?
Certainly is, Pete, and it's growing as well. The percentage of large coffins we make now, funeral directors will corroborate this, it's getting out of hand a wee bit, but you do what you do. We are now selling, it's certainly a full 1% now of our output is extra large coffins. And that's, you know, you're talking between 130,000 coffins on that veneer line. So you're talking maybe 13,000 obese coffins now.
Now, is all this that we're here, is this all veneer?
Yes, this is all veneer. Yes, this is all veneer. I'll just show you a couple of the types of veneer as well, Pete. You can see the red mahogany there.
Yeah.
So that's the mahogany veneer. Light oak. And we've got a bit of elm veneer over there. Not very big sellers. Oak veneer is the biggest seller. Most people buy oak veneer.
So this is all chipboard and veneer on top of it.
That's
right.
Or a bit of MDF every
right.
now and then.
Now, what about wood? Is there a department in here which is just wood?
Solid timber is back up that way. Do you want to have a quick peek?
Yeah, I'll have a little look.
The three solid timbers we use, Pete, three of the solid timbers, we use solid oak, solid mahogany, and solid spruce. And solid spruce is essentially for the bottoms. It keeps the weight down on a solid coffin. It also keeps the price down for the family. But you can have it all solid if you want. But it's very heavy, empty coffin. This is solid mahogany here, Pete. You can see the redness of the mahogany. Over there, we'll have the oak. You can start to see solid oak coming through there. That's solid American oak.
Yeah. So that'll be shipped over from America?
Yes, they are. But we're not big enough to ship direct, so we use a broker in London or down south somewhere, and he buys in a big container and sells us little
bits.
So
this department is quite small compared to the rest of it. It's all about chipboard and veneer.
It is pretty much, Pete. Yeah, the percentages are around about 95% at least is chipboard veneer. Then we have a little bit of MDF veneer, solid timber, and then you've got your willows, your cardboard, and your wrapped coffins as well.
Pete Price, Over My Dead Body.